Deutsche Welle Africa Link.
Hello and a warm welcome to the show with me, Assumpta Latos. Coming up, the Confederation of African Football, CAF, has banned Sierra Leone and Guinea from hosting any international matches until mid-September.
We'd rather not take any risks, really, which might expose the players and the fans to any potential dangers.
And support from the public in South Africa for actors in a soap opera who were fired after walking off the job for more pay.
The actors are within their right to demand whatever they need because they are also employees like everybody else.
Those stories and more coming up right here at Africa Link.
Top story.
Let's start the show in Liberian capital, Monrovia. The city has come to a standstill and the police have been firing tear gas to disperse angry civilians. They have been protesting the latest effort by President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf to stop the spread of Ebola. She has imposed an overnight curfew as part of additional measures to tackle the epidemic. Liberia has posted the highest number of Ebola deaths of any West African country. Two affected areas have also been placed under quarantine. Julius Kanuba reports.
Commencing Wednesday, August 20, there will be a curfew from 9 o'clock p.m. to 6 o'clock a.m.
That was President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf announcing the latest measure to combat Ebola. It's widely seen as an admission that the government has been unable to control the spread of the disease. She blamed this inability on a number of factors, such as continued denial, traditional burying practices, disregard for healthcare advice, and warnings issued by the government.
As a result, and due to the large population concentration, the disease has spread widely in Monrovia and its environs. Now, therefore, the following measures are to be urgently enforced. The communities of West Point in Monrovia and Dolo Town in Mankibi are quarantined on a full security watch. This means there will be no movements in and out of those areas.
Entertainment centers and video clubs were also ordered closed. The effects of this measure became evident on Wednesday as security forces were fully deployed and patrolled the quarantined West Point Township. Major streets were also virtually deserted and business centers closed. Some traders at the famous Waterside Market in Monrovia, which was also shut down, were left angry and confused.
It's very dangerous to our health.
It's very dangerous to our health. Most especially, they have blocked us from going to our business area. Who will feed us?
Stop the oven going there.
It's very, very bad.
It's very, very bad because I have my goods in a waterside market. There's no way for us to sell. How will our children eat? How will they survive? It's very bad.
The government has said it will provide basic essentials to quarantined communities, but this is yet to be done. There were reports of rioting in the West Point Township, with residents throwing stones at security personnel manning the area, which is one of the hardest hit Ebola communities. Many people say they don't see any link between the Ebola virus and the imposition of a curfew and doubt whether this will help combat the killer virus.
Julius Kanuba reporting from Monrovia. The Ebola outbreak is also hitting the sport sector. It has forced the Confederation of African Football, CAF, to ban Guinea and Sierra Leone from hosting any international matches until mid-September. They have, however, been trying to move matches scheduled to be played in those countries to neutral venues. The Group E qualifiers between Guinea and Togo, for instance, will now be played in Casablanca, Morocco. So has Ebola become a nightmare for African football? A question to Eric Mwanza, a press officer at the Confederation of African Football.
I think what it is now is that it is a great concern, and CAF is following with great concern what is happening in West Africa regarding the situation of Ebola. And that is why we decided in the week to move all Africa Cup of Nations fixtures away from countries that, if you like, for lack of a better phrase, are at the battlefront, are right in the heat or mix of this fight against Ebola. And you pointed out rightly that Guinea is one of them, and therefore their match against Togo has been moved. And then you've got Sierra Leone as well, who are still looking for a venue for their match on the 10th of September. But in summary, yes, it's a great concern to CAF, and that is why we've taken the initiative to move the games away from the countries that have been affected by Ebola, so that we can be able to contribute effectively so and positively, I think, with these steps to try and halt the spread of Ebola.
How are the players reacting to these changes in match venues?
Well, I think for the affected countries, fortunately, they understand the reasons why we have decided to take these initiatives. We haven't had any complaints. The moment Secretary General Hicham Imrani wrote to the three countries and told them that football activities would be halted, we received positive response, which is commendable. And the players understand. Of course, they know that they are losing the advantage of playing at home, and the fans will not have the opportunity to watch their stars. But it is in their best interest. We would rather not take any risks, really, which might expose the players and the fans to any potential dangers.
You mentioned fans. What about them? Have there been any complaints from the fans?
The fans, I think, we haven't had any complaints that have come through directly to us, maybe with the member associations. But I think the absence of the complaints from the fans, really, goes down to show that they understand the dangers that Ebola poses and the threat that is there. And I think they also want to have a situation where Ebola is completely brought under control. We stop the deaths, we stop the spread of this disease. Because mind you, in January, we have the Africa Cup of Nations finals in Morocco. And this is the biggest football championship on the continent. And it attracts fans from across the continent, from Europe, from Asia, all over the world, if you like. And there will be fans if Guinea qualify. Guinean fans who want to travel. Sierra Leone, if they qualify, some of their fans would want to travel. But can you imagine a situation where you still have Ebola cases going up or being recorded every other day in Guinea and Sierra Leone, and they qualify? It means that the authorities in Morocco might have a challenge. CAF might have a challenge in getting the fans to move there. And that is why at this stage they are cooperating and they are supporting these initiatives. For example, Guinea to play in Casablanca.
Lesotho refused to send its team to Nigeria, and consequently they have been disqualified by you.
Yeah.
Is that a fair thing to do?
I think for the Lesotho national team, their refusal to travel was based on what their government decided. And I think they decided that was in the best interest of the Republic of Lesotho. And it is something that they feel was a step they needed to take. Of course, CAF cannot interfere with individual state decisions. We apply the regulations of football as they are. And we sympathize with the Lesotho national team, the players and the staff that would have wanted to continue. It's a similar situation with the Republic of the Seychelles. They did not go ahead to play to host Sierra Leone, and therefore forfeited the chance to get into the final phase of competitions.
Eric Mwanza speaking from Cairo.
Africa Link, every weekday on Deutsche Welle.
Nigeria's former anti-corruption Chifu Nuhu Ribadu has defected to the ruling People's Democratic Party, and he apparently intends to contest a state election on a PDP ticket. Ribadu was among the pillars of the country's main opposition party, All Progressive. Ribadu's defection comes only a few months before the country votes in general elections early next year. So how big a blow is Ribadu's defection for the All Progressive Opposition Party? I put that question to our correspondent in Abuja, Ben Shemang.
Assumpta, this is definitely a very big blow to SCP, bearing in mind that Ribadu is seen as a man with very sound credentials. He is a man that when he was the anti-corruption czar, the man fighting corruption in this country, many people tried to bribe this man. He refused.
Well, recently, Nigerian politicians have been defecting from the ruling party to the opposition, not the other way around, as is the case here. How do you explain this defection then?
Well, I have seen some of the things he did some twisting about. He said it is about service to humanity. It is about personal conviction. It is about going to serve where he's most needed, where indeed he can also show what it takes to lead in Nigeria. And that is why he has taken this action. In fact, he even wrote a letter to the party he's leaving, the APC, telling the parties there that, look, it's a decision he has taken, it's, even though painful, but he has decided to just joined the ruling People's Democratic Party. So he felt he's convinced he ought to do it, and he has done it.
Well, he was known for going after the big fish in the fight against corruption in the country, to the point of risking his own life. Will his defection to PDP strengthen his anti-corruption mission or weaken it?
Yes, I want to believe it's going to strengthen it, because if we go down the memory lane, when he was the head of EFCC, the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission, he was rather probing many of the members of the ruling People's Democratic Party. He left those in opposition. If you check those, he decided to probe and some even removed from office. They all were governors of the ruling People's Democratic Party. And at the point, he also probe even his boss, the man who appointed him, talking of Chivolu Shogo Obasanjo. And I remember Obasanjo at an international forum, he just said, look, Ribadu succeeded in making more enemies for him, political enemies for him, than any other person in Nigeria, so to speak. In other words, many of the governors thought that Ribadu would have been used to protect them. Rather, Ribadu was a kind of somebody who could back, and not just back, he could bite, and he did that.
And how much of a victory is Ribadu's defection for President Jonathan?
It's definitely a big victory to President Jonathan, bearing in mind that in terms of fighting corruption, many people, Transparency International and some NGOs, society-based organizations, we always say that the fight against corruption in Nigeria is not too strong. But for Ribadu to now defect and go to that party is very big plus. It's a very big impetus to the ruling People's Democratic Party. He's going to be like a shining star in terms of becoming an example. Good luck, Jonathan should be clapping that he has done a very big catch.
What does the Ribadu's defection tell us about Nigerian politics?
Many Nigerians simply know that politicians, they change parties just like people change clothes. We've also seen a situation where when a governor defects, many of the lawmakers at the state level, even at the federal level, will also follow suit. And it's just a thing of concern in Nigeria in terms of principles, in terms of electorates believing them. Why will you just keep changing if you were to change whole consultation with your electorate? But no, they don't do it.
Then it's not a matter of principle and ideologies, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Today we don't talk of any ideology, because what the opposition party will want to do in terms of infrastructure is what the ruling party is doing. This is not socialism versus capitalism or communism. All they do is, they are just birds of the same feather flogging together, only that political parties have different names.
Ben Shamang.
Behind the headlines.
Road accidents occur with depressing regularity in Rwanda. 50 people have reportedly to have been killed by road accidents in the last 30 days. This triggered a public outcry, with the police being blamed for failing to enforce traffic laws. The police have since introduced its strict measures to curb reckless driving. Flora Kaitezi has more.
This is one of Kigali's busiest bus stations. The public service vehicles picking up and dropping off passengers here are popularly known as coasters. They operate in circulation around different suburbs across the city, and some travel long distances outside the capital. But despite providing the much-needed transport services to commuters, their reputation recently took a nosedive. The coasters have been the cause of a string of accidents which have claimed the lives of more than 50 people in a span of just 30 days. Passengers like Emmanuel Twahirwa blame reckless driving.
The drivers are driving too fast. They don't slow down when negotiating a sharp bend. In my opinion, this causes many accidents.
Last month, Rwanda's National Police Force announced that it had recorded at least more than 1,300 road accidents between January and June this year, with 97 deaths compared to 247 accidents, which killed 30 people over the same period last year. Following the latest tragedies, police have introduced harsh penalties in the hope of cutting down road carnage. Traffic police warned that fines for traffic offences could increase ninefold, from about $15 to $215, and in some cases as high as $642. The measures apply mostly to public service vehicles and trucks plying upcountry routes. Assistant Commissioner of Police Theos Badeje is the police commissioner for the Criminal Investigations Department.
The first resolution adopted is to review traffic laws, put additional speed bumps and road signs in all black spots in the country. Also, to confiscate the driving permits of traffic offenders, install speed monitors, especially in public service vehicles and heavy commercial vehicles, as well as increasing fines for violation of traffic rules. It should be noted that the law allows government to increase punitive measures for traffic offenders ninefold, with the aim of ensuring road safety.
The new penalties sparked a heated debate on social media, with many road users saying the fines were too high. But away from the cyber argument, this was also the opinion of actual road users like Bonaventure Habonimana.
The penalties are too strict. If the fines are increased ninefold, I'm not sure we are all capable of paying that kind of money, say, for example, to repossess a driving license that has been taken by the police.
But according to the Commissioner of Police George Rumanzi, in charge of the Traffic Police Department, human life is worth more than fines. However, he stressed that the fines will be increased within the confines of the law.
What we are saying is that value should be given to human life. When it comes to fines, the law clearly states that we have the power to increase the fines ninefold, meaning that the minimum is $15 and maximum fine cannot exceed $215.
The dramatic increase in the number of road accidents has also triggered strong remarks from the country's most senior officials. Rwanda's president and the prime minister have voiced concern over the alarming loss of lives and called on relevant authorities to take urgent action.
Flora Kaitesi. Now, the sacking of 16 South African actors in the country's leading soapy generations has raised a national outcry. The actors employed by MMSV Productions in conjunction with the South African Broadcasting Corporation were fired after staying away from work. They were demanding more pay and other allowances. The 20-year-old soapy attracts 7 million South African viewers every evening from Monday to Friday. Tuzo Kumalo reports.
From Monday to Friday throughout the year at 8 o'clock in the evening, 7 million South Africans tune on to SABC 1 to watch their favorite soapy, The Generations. When SABC 1 became available on the DSTV network, the soapy storylines that include love, backbiting, cheating, conspiracy, and business attracted a lot of viewers from many Southern African countries. The viewers have grouped themselves around the soapy's main actors, who include Sophie Ndaba, Menzi Ngubane, Winnie Ntsaba, and the popular Dineo, whose real name is Katleko Danke. But on Monday, 16 of these actors were fired by their two employers, the MMSV Productions and the South African Broadcasting Corporation, SABC. This was after they stayed away from work, demanding higher wages, three-year contracts, and other benefits emanating from royalties. However, the sacking of the actors has caused a huge public outcry that may result in the public broadcaster losing millions of viewers and adverts. Desmond Brown, the actors' lawyer, accuses the employer of undermining the actors and failing to address their concerns.
In October last year, actors were required to sign new contracts for their engagement in the show Generations for the new season. And they had then raised issues with regard to their salaries and also various other issues in the contract, such as payment of royalties.
And Fana Mukwena, former Generations actor, says the actors are justified in demanding decent remuneration.
If you're a performing artist, you're considered a risk by the banking systems in this country. So, you know, you don't get loans for houses, for car, you know, and those are basic necessities.
Fans of the actors have also lashed out at the public broadcaster, accusing it of unfair labor practices. Nhlonipho Nhleko is one of them.
The actors are within their right to demand whatever they need because they are also employees like everybody else.
The ruling African National Congress has also expressed its disapproval of the dismissals. The ANC Youth League convener Mzwandile Masina has demanded that the actors be reinstated immediately.
We want to call on the SABC to urgently rescind the expulsion of all those actors with immediate effect.
But the SABC is sticking to its guns. The public broadcaster spokesperson Keza Hanyako says the soap will still go on without the actors who have been sacked.
We'll then have to look at a way forward in terms of how we're going to take the storyline forward. But as far as the viewers are concerned, they will continue to watch their favorite soap because we have already footage that will last the next 2 months.
However, most scriptwriters say writing 16 key actors out of the script will not be easy, especially as the audience will already be fully aware of the reasons for their departure. On the other hand, most fans say if the actors are not reinstated, they will just switch on to other channels or soapies.
Tuzo Kumalo.
Opinion.
In Opinion this week, we'll be looking at how the Ebola outbreak has affected the sports sector in Africa. The Confederation of African Football has banned Guinea and Sierra Leone from hosting any international matches until mid-September. Was this the right thing for the organization to do? Send us your thoughts through our email address, which is feedback.africa@dw.de, or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. You could also send us a text message to +49 160 9575 9510. And now a quick look at our main headlines. Security forces in Liberian capital Monrovia have been firing tear gas to disperse angry civilians who are protesting government measures to stop the spread of Ebola. Nigeria's former anti-corruption chief Nuhu Ribadu has defected to the ruling People's Democratic Party to contest a state election. And Rwandan police have introduced strict measures to curb reckless driving, which has killed 50 people in the last 30 days. That's how we wrap up this program for today. If you would like to listen to this program again, then visit our website, which is dw.de/Africa. Let's meet again tomorrow. Till then, I'm Assumpta Latus, and goodbye.